Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here at 710 ESPN. Happy International Sushi Day. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line and brought to us by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs, high-speed data, 2G, $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. What up? All right. We got baseball, sort of. We've got football, maybe? And basketball is sniping at each other. Basketball is ripping each other. Basketball is still probably going to happen. Nah, it's going to happen, it seems like. But it's going to need some tweaking. And I don't blame some of the players for wanting tweaking. And we'll get to that in a second. But let's start off with the NFL. So Greg Bergman, you heard the news today. Dr. Fauci told Sanjay Gupta that he believes football players would need to be isolated and tested regularly, that he would be way more comfortable with football being able to complete their season if they went and did a bubble atmosphere like the NBA and the MLS. I believe he's right. I think the problem lies here. Now, tell me what you think about this. I think here's the biggest issue with this bubble thing. And I know people today are seeing this. Like, I saw it. I woke up this morning in my text chat with my buddies who I grew up with 53 messages all yelling about Dr. Fauci. Oh, I can't believe him. I can't believe he's taking away football. I bought an 85-inch television. Like, just my friends being first world problem jerks. Like, that's just the reality of it. I said to them, I chastised them. I'm that friend in the text chat. And I'm like, you guys sound like a bunch of bleeping babies. Grow the bleep up, okay? Which I'm sure they all love me for. But anyway, he's saying this, and he's not wrong, okay? We've been talking about it, how cavalier the NFL has been, how football particularly, but the NFL has been about this season that's upcoming. And I believe that if they were to do this, there's only a few places they could pull this off. And I think if Roger Goodell is smart, at this point, he consults with Adam Silver. He consults with Greg Garber of the MLS. I believe Gary Bettman in the NHL are doing something similar. He consults with Dr. Fauci and the CDC, and they start at least developing a plan for the possibility of having to do this. Even if they wanted to start their season, which I wouldn't recommend, normally, and then having to then converge to finish the season in a bubble like the NBA and the NHL, I would at least do my due diligence there and do that. However, the question then becomes, what city is actually going to let the NFL try to pull that off? I'm sure there'll be plenty that will line up, but how many of them have the infrastructure to pull that off? Multiple stadiums, plenty of hotel space, right? You're talking about a football team. You're talking about 100 people travel party. Like, this isn't the NBA where it's going to be 35 people, 37 people. Like, you're talking about three times the amount of people, and that's being conservative on the amount of people. So, A, what do you make about Dr. Fauci's comments on the bubble? Do you agree with him? B, do you believe the NFL should be doing their due diligence because they've been too cavalier about this? And C, if we're picking a city where this is going to have to happen, give me a couple of cities where you think that they could actually pull the damn thing off.
Yes, I do think that I agree that they should be in a bubble. This every sport should be in a bubble. The fact that baseball is not going to be in a bubble if they ever come back, I think is kind of silly in itself. I want to see it all happen, but every sport should be in this bubble, especially a sport like football where you're constantly on top of each other. B was which one?
Oh. B is, so I said, A, do you agree with Dr. Fauci's
opinion? I do.
B, Roger Goodell, should Roger Goodell have start making these plans about the potential bubble, whether it's to start the season or resume the season if they run into trouble?
Yes, if not talking to Adam Silver is always the wrong choice. You always talk to Adam Silver when it comes to doing anything with your league outside of the pandemic, inside the pandemic. It doesn't matter. Always talk with Adam Silver because he's the smartest of all of them, and it's not even close. So when and they're, with the way that they're doing it, everything has been right so far.
But you do know there's ego involved there, right? Like,
Roger Goodell ego? Yeah, of course there's ego involved there. But you do that anyway because right now this is a very important time and to make sure you do this exactly right to make sure that you have a season next year and everything works out for next year. And see the cities that it could work in. I feel like Los Angeles would be a good city to do
Correct.
This because there is so many hotels and there are so many stadiums too.
Right. Right. So you have SoFi Stadium, clearly, right?
Yep.
You have the Coliseum. You have the
Rose Bowl,
right? You know, and you could actually still do it in a game in Carson if you needed to, right?
Like StubHub.
StubHub. You could do it at well, here's the thing. Maybe Bank of California, the NFL could lease out Bank of California if they need it. I don't know if the LAFC would be in on something like that. But anyway, there are plenty of venues, is the point.
Yeah, there are football fields all over the place that they can make this work, and really nice football fields too. So, I mean, we're also in California. You can find some like high school football stadium that's actually probably pretty nice around here.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Now, Mike, let's follow up on that. What do you think, Mayor Garcetti? Do you think Gavin Newsom would be okay with that? Like, I think that that's the other part of the equation. That's not a given either. I don't think if we got to that point.
No, they've been very, very careful with everything they're doing. Every step of the way, they've been going slowly. California has gone in a very slow pace to reopening. We're kind of getting there right now. So I think when push comes to shove, I think they would be okay with it.
Okay. But what are the other alternatives?
Other alternatives? I mean, like, you would think that somewhere in Texas, but with the way that Texas is rising,
yep. Nope.
It's you just can't do it.
Nope. Arizona? Nope.
Right. And Florida's the same way. You can't, I mean, it works in like basketball works in Orlando because they have,
they're insulated in Disney. Right. Yeah.
Right. But besides that, they don't have, correct me if I'm wrong. They don't
there
have
are
football.
No, there, no, there, I mean, not like the basketball stuff. No, they don't have anything like that.
So other places that have to be somewhere that has a strong football presence. And like New York is bad. I mean, you don't want to do it there.
No, they're getting better. But yeah, I don't think they would want it, to be honest with you. I don't know if they would want it.
It seems like LA is really the only viable option to me. Can you think of another place? I mean, you can maybe even do all of California or like half of California.
Will you just do like Northern and Southern California? Like the AFC goes to like, you know, the San Francisco area, right? And then like the NFC does like Southern California. You can even include San Diego. Right. But I don't know if people would want to go to different cities within the state, because then I don't know the answers to that. All I know is that this is not an easy fix. And because it's not an easy fix, I think Roger Goodell's ass should get on it pretty quickly.
Yeah, he needs to be on it right now and talking to people and talking with basically we're kind of figuring it out right now. Right. Talking to Gavin Newsom and figuring all this stuff out, because LA seems to be, or LA or California seems to be the
would be the ideal spot to do something like that. But again, that is a very, very look. Do you want an influx of people like that? Like, you're talking about easily at least 3,000 people, if not more, probably, like, actually, because you got to have referees. Right. So you're probably talking about like another 5,000 people you're adding into a situation. So you probably wouldn't do it in one city because you don't want that kind of influx into one city. I don't think.
No, I mean, and also if you're in LA, you are going to have to travel around, like, you know, getting from the Coliseum to the Rose Bowl, that's not a short drive. So, I mean, there's still some travel that's involved in there. And
well, right now it's actually not so bad, to be honest.
Right now it's great. Now it's great. Yeah. Right, although it's starting to get a little bit more. Yeah. It's going to get a little bit more full. But
yeah,
I mean,
but if you don't know
where else you do it,
if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, Dr. Fauci told Sanjay Gupta on CNN that he would feel a lot better if the NFL decided to play in a bubble atmosphere. Here are the words that he said. He said, unless players are essentially in a bubble insulated from the community and they're tested nearly every day, it would be very hard to see how football is able to be played this fall. If there's a second wave, which is certainly a possibility, and which would be complicated by the predictable flu season, football may not happen this year. Now, again, I hope that's not the case. But if football does come back in the fall, it's going to have to look really different, okay? This notion of people in the stands, all that stuff, I think that – how about this? This is something Sanjay Gupta mentioned I saw on Twitter. How about, like, modified face masks on the in the players' helmets? You know what I mean? Like, you know they have the chin strap? Like, find a way to get, like, a face mask protection in there.
So where it's just like a like there's a shield over your mouth essentially,
right?
For the whole time,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, so it's basically so you're taking the shield from the top of the helmet all the way down to the bottom, then because they
right.
Have
you know how
eyes.
Ricky Williams and some guys used to wear like the shield, right? You know what I'm saying? Remember, like Sean Taylor used to wear a shield to cover his eyes. You know, they would be like tinted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're all wearing basically hockey masks.
Yeah, and then you could physical distance. From on the sidelines. I mean, there's plenty of room on the sidelines. Guys convene to one area. Like, I don't think it's impossible, but I do think that if Roger Goodell is smart, he's doing some of this stuff right now.
Yeah, and I just don't, it's, we were talking about it before with baseball, and football is going to be the same way, is that I just don't see how you can travel from city to city, how you can travel from Los Angeles.
That part of baseball is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, like how the Rams, what if they have to, if they're playing the Jets, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but if they're playing the Jets and they have to fly to New York, I that's just, you know, I don't understand the flying part of it. I think you can do it, but.
Well, I mean, they fly private, so I don't feel like that, the flying, actual flying.
Then hotels and all the other things that go in.
Yeah, I mean, look, Greg, I'm not worried about the hotel part of it even, to be honest with you, as much, because. These guys are staying at Ritz-Carlton's and Four Seasons. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about the nicest hotels in the world, right, that are going to take the utmost care of their facilities, especially during a pandemic, because they do it normally. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't worry about that aspect of it as much as I worry about just the interactions, right? Like, how are you insulating these guys traveling from city to city when every city is going to be different? So I just think the NFL has something really on its hands right now. And they've had a lot of bravado about kind of trying to keep it business as usual, at least openly. And I think that there needs to be at least some thought put into some of this. Next, we've got Major League Baseball. So here's the deal with Major League Baseball. Baseball offered 60 games, 100% salaries. The players still want more, Bergman. Still want more. More games. Bergman, 60 games is not enough?
I mean, 60 games is not a ton. We all want baseball back. I think at this point, now the players are, they're giving them 100% pro rata, so that's a huge win.
That's what they wanted. All their money.
Right.
For the amount of games they play.
And now it's starting. Look, the players had a very big opportunity here to be the heroes in all of this and saying, like, look, we stood firm. We didn't want, we stood together and we got what we wanted. Now we're not going to push on these extra 10 to 15 games that we actually want. They want 86, what is it, 76 games, something like that. So, they can if
72, I believe. Yeah is so, what the so owners that,
so we're
offered
about 12
before
games.
This.
So
the owners offered games. 72 at 85% salary or whatever last time.
All right, I need to find the tweet, but Jason Stark actually broke it down to where it needs to be, I think, 66 games to do it really, to basically make it perfect. And if they can agree on that.
Well, here's the thing. 66 games. I mean, what's the difference between 60 and 66 games? Well, like, seriously?
Yeah, well, the reason that he said 66 games was because then you play a certain amount of games against the division, then you play a certain amount of games against your where is this? I got to find the exact thing. Well, here it is. 12 games each versus four division opponents. 3 games each versus four interleague opponents. 6 games home and home versus interleague rival, and you're done. And it works out perfectly. 66 games.
Okay, fine. 66 games, pro rata. Get it done already, though.
Yes. Yes.
Like, totally just do fine. It. And yeah, you may have to play a few doubleheaders here or there. Like, are your players going to complain about doubleheaders now too?
No, don't complain about doubleheaders. Even if you have to play multiple doubleheaders, if you have to play, you know, somewhere, if you're playing 60, 66 games, if you have to play 10 doubleheaders, fine, do it.
Because the one thing that Manfred said that the owners are steadfast on is finishing the season by September 27th, which kind of vibes with what Dr. Fauci said, because you don't want to play too far into October considering all the stuff we just illustrated about the football season. You know what I mean?
Right. And then so, but the problem is now the longer that this takes out, the less time that it, then they're going to be able to start the season. And
well, they're talking about a June 28th spring training, like very, you know, very quick modified spring training right now.
Well, that's 10 days from now. So if they can get that done, great. Great. Look, just bring the sport back. It would destroy baseball. It will absolutely destroy it if they don't come back this year. Just make the agreement.
All right. Coming up next, Avery Bradley. Of all the different NBA players who have been, for lack of a better phrase, opposed to the restart of the NBA, I think Avery Bradley is on to something, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Plus, if the NFL were to play in a bubble, is LA the best place? Do you have other options? Should they play over the entire state of California? What would you like to see with football? Because I feel like this is going to be a problem for the NFL particularly. And at this point, what else do you have for Major League Baseball? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Are you just at your wit's end with them? Because I am at this point. Sit down over here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Check out the interviews on youtube.com/progressive. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I got a haircut yesterday.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
Does it feel good?
It did feel good. It's now super manageable. Like, that's kind of the whole goal, is to be as short as possible, so it's just I don't even have to comb it in the morning or brush it or whatever. I do kind of miss, though, my mullet a little bit. I got to be honest with you. And my daughter did, too. I walked in, and my daughter was playing Uno with my wife. And she said, my daughter, my six-year-old, says to me, "Daddy, you cut your hair." And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "But I liked your hair the other way." And I'm like, "Well, sorry, kid. That stuff's gone. That's 4 months of growth right there."
Yeah, that's funny. That's exactly what my daughter said. I had this gigantic Jufro going on, and I cut it. And my daughter said, "I liked your floof." So,
yeah, I had like a very 90s haircut. Like, did you ever watch The Facts of Life when George Clooney was on it?
Oh, I don't know.
That was kind of the end. At the end of Facts of Life. Laura, did you watch Facts of Life?
I did not, guys.
Oh, yeah. Google George Clooney Facts of Life, and you can just kind of see. And that's kind of what my hair looked like a little bit, but just a little straighter version, because I got straighter hair than he does. But but that was kind of it. It kind of like had a little bit of a mullet thing going on. It was a little poofy on the, it was a lot of hair on the sides. It would kind of like the sides of my hair would kind of come out the back a little bit. If I brushed it out, you know, and wet it a little bit. Yeah. It was, there was a lot of stuff going on. So you saw the picture, Laura?
I see the picture right now. Go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, I did. And I was like, yo, that does look like your hair. Curlier, but it does look like your hair.
Right. It's a curlier version of what I had going on. It's like the shape of it was exactly that. It was very similar to that. Yes. But except, yeah, he has a curlier hair than I do.
And I saw the final episode was September 12, 88. I was like 3 months old.
Oh, my bad. But I thought maybe you would have seen it like in syndication. You know what I'm saying? Like not live, obviously. But wow, you were 3 months old at that time?
Yeah, I was about 3 months old.
Oh, yeah, geez. I was 11. So there you go. But yeah, that's kind of what I was looking like. But I honestly, I went to cut my hair. And I cut my hair at the Del Amo Mall, one of the salons there, a lady there that I met when I first moved here. Like, it was just like, all right, you're the first lady I met, and you're going to cut my hair. And she's been cutting my hair ever since. Her name is Teresa. And Teresa cut my hair. She wore a mask the whole time. I wore a mask when she had to do the stuff around the ears. I just took the ears part off and just covered it, like pushed the mask up with my hands, and that's how we did it.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that it is. I went to a Floyd's right down the street from me here, and that's exactly how it is. Everybody's in masks. I had to wait outside. You're not allowed to go inside of the salon barbershop until somebody else walks out.
Yeah,
they're being very, very careful, and yeah. I was just so excited that we're allowed to do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Is Floyd's like a fancy place?
No. Floyd's is a bar. Floyd's barbershop. It's just a men's haircut place.
Oh, see, I go to a salon though. Like, I don't care. I want someone touching my hair. I prefer a woman cutting my hair now. You know, for years I had men cutting my hair. Really, up until I didn't start having my hair cut by women until I moved here to California, And then since then, I've just had women cutting my hair.
So that's interesting because I actually at this point now refuse to have men cut my hair. I used to. But every time I did, I would have to go back and get it fixed, or they would chop up my neck and I would start bleeding. I just got really bad male hairstylists. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just like, just give me a female from now on.
Yeah. Yeah. Laura, do you have a male or female stylist?
I have a female stylist. Even though okay. I want a male stylist, but I haven't found the right one.
Yeah. Have you gone to get your hair done yet or no? Or is that not, has that not been a thing?
No, I did. So I brought my lady to my house because I won't go to her salon.
You went to a restaurant though.
Right. What is wrong with you?
Don't judge me. I want my nails done. I need my nail lady to open up. That's why I text you guys. I hate you because I haven't been able to get a pedicure. It's like, no.
Yeah. But why is that? Why are they not allowed open? What's the? There's got to be some reasoning behind it.
I think just the health guidelines are heavier for them because, you know, they're doing like the cuticles and the cutting stuff. Yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, that might be right. Maybe someone who's listening who knows better could help us out there at 877-710-ESPN. But I am curious, like, if you're a dude, do you prefer getting your hair cut by a woman or a man? Like, I'm just curious. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I'll put up a poll, too, at some point for that. So, real quick, I want to talk to you about Avery Bradley. So, Avery Bradley, we've had a lot of conversations about Kyrie. We've had a lot of conversations about Dwight, obviously. And by the way, Ryan Russillo is going to join us from The Ringer at 10:30, so in 10 minutes. But we've had a lot of conversations about those two guys. We really haven't, Greg and Laura, really talked about Avery Bradley so much. But Avery Bradley, if you really look at it, the discussion, or I guess the biggest criticism of Kyrie and Dwight specifically, right, has been, what's the strategy? And it's not just been us. It's been Kendrick Perkins, right? It's been, you know, Michael Wilbon, Charles Barkley, like anyone we've had on this show or who's been on TV or radio recently has said that. Now, Avery Bradley does have a strategy, okay? Avery Bradley has been by far the most thoughtful person I've at least seen on this. And I'm not trying to, again, diminish Kyrie's position or Dwight's position. I just have openly wondered, much like a lot of people, about, well, what's your strategy moving forward if you're not going to play? So Avery Bradley has, I guess to put it in a nutshell, has basically asked that the NBA, and not just the NBA, the companies involved with the NBA as well, make investments in the black community. And you know what? I think that's fair. That's a fair ask. Now, I don't know if, I haven't seen it yet, but I don't know if Avery Bradley feels the need that that has to be negotiated on the front end, or he can trust Adam Silver to have those discussions as to what's appropriate, right? But I don't think that's an unfair ask, man. Like, honestly, I think that that's really smart, and you should utilize your position of strength at the moment, because he did say this, and he's right. There wouldn't be an NBA without black players. So what he's saying is, help us invest in the black community. Nothing wrong with that. I think that that's 100% something I can stand by. And if Avery Bradley doesn't feel like the NBA and its partners, whether it's the shoe companies, Nike, Adidas, Puma, whatever, Under Armour, doesn't have the requisite amount of support, then I could understand where he would sit out. But I don't think that's something that's unfair of him to ask. So I am curious to see how people feel about that at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I will say this, and it's not to put one over the other, but I think the NBA has been so entrenched, as we've seen by this 113-page manual, about trying to have safety guidelines during a pandemic, that was where their focus is. It doesn't mean that their focus can't be on two things, just like we've talked about with LeBron. His focus is on his community and voter registration with more than a vote and trying to play basketball. Adam Silver and the NBA, understandably, can now have their focus on two things. So I salute Avery Bradley for that position. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Danny is in L.A. Danny, who cuts your hair?
I have a guy cut my hair, man.
Why is that?
Bergman talking about his neck getting cut up. My guy takes care of you. He gives you a massage. He washes your hair. I mean, you got to go to the right place. That's what it is. If you're spending, you know, 10, 15 bucks on a haircut, they're not going to take care of you.
It's a good point. How much are you spending, Danny, on a haircut?
If you just get the haircut, I think it's around 30. But, you know, he does your beard for you, too, and all that kind of stuff adds up to it. But, yeah, just a typical haircut's around 30.
Bergman, how much are you spending?
Yeah, I'm spending 30 also. Yeah, it's 30, and I don't get my beard done, though. That would be really nice.
Yeah, man, they clean you up nice, and I'm telling you, gives you a nice massage on the face before he, like, you know, gets on the beard. It's a really good experience. It takes about an hour, so you definitely got to, you know, set some time aside for it. But yeah, it's pretty nice.
Thank you. I don't know about an hour. An hour is a little long.
An hour is a long time. I'm in and out in about 30 minutes.
So. Right, exactly.
Yeah, an hour is a long time. A long time, I'll be honest. But it's worth it. It's worth it. But, hey, I wanted to throw out there, guys. You guys have been doing a great job talking about the COVID-19 virus out there. I just want to throw out that my wife works at UCLA. If you guys ever need answers, questions answered, somebody that, you know, is a little bit more of an expert, she's doing all the testing there for the virus. Just want to throw out there that, you know, you guys are doing great to inform the community. But, you know, if you guys need some more information, she's definitely available. She's a huge sports fan and would like to help as well.
Man, have her call. I'm going to be off tomorrow, but have her call next week, man. Like, for real. Like, we'll just kind of chat with her for a few minutes. It'd be cool.
All right. We'll make that happen.
All right, Danny. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for listening, okay? Be safe. Stay healthy.
Take care.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Rob in Victorville. Rob, who cuts your hair?
Hey, what's going on, Sedano? How you doing, man?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just hanging tough, playing a little Call of Duty. You know how I go. I just want to say I get my hair cut by a guy, man. Preferred always guy. I had a bad experience with cutting my hair. Not to say that, you know.
Really? Hold on. You said you had a bad experience with a lady?
A couple of them, yeah.
Wow. What happened?
Well, first off, I'm black. So
okay.
I come in a barbershop. I went to a Fantastic Sam's or Supercuts a while back. And the first thing I did.
Oh, you can't go to a chain place. No offense to the chain places.
Actually, that was it was when I was way young, man. And I went in there and I was like, can I get the fade? And she looked at me and said, excuse me? And I said, a bald fade. And she looked at me like with a blank look, bro, and just was like, she called over a couple of her friends and they was like, I don't know what he's talking about.
That's funny.
Then I had another lady that actually did cut my hair. She left some divots in there, man. It was bad.
Oh no. Well, listen, okay, fine. You know, if you've had those bad experiences, Rob, then I could understand it, man. So, what do you feel about Avery Bradley, about his position, about that? I'm not trying to disparage Kyrie and Dwight, but unlike them, he actually seems to have a plan, right? Like, he wants to force the NBA's hand to invest in the black community, whether it's, you know, money to resources to different organizations, you know, whatever it takes to show a real investment in that community. How do you feel about what Avery said?
I'm a full Laker fan, and honestly, I agree with him just on a social level and a human level. And I believe in life, you get windows of opportunities. And they don't always come back, man. And when you got an opportunity like this, you got to take it. This is something bigger than basketball. As LeBron so eloquently put his story out there, more than an athlete, this is more than a this is more than a game right now. More than a game, more than an athlete. So this is the opportunity. So I agree.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Be safe, okay? Take care, Rob.
You too, brother. Thank you.
All right, take care. Let me go to Jason and Downey. Jason.
Well, first off, I've got good news for Laura. Nail salons and massage parlors actually opened this weekend. They were on the very last end of the phases because, just like Laura said, they're dealing with cuticles and actually contact. But for when it comes to my hair, straight up, ladies, and will not go back. I had one lady do it for me one time, and she treated me like a king, and ever since then, I refuse. I won't even go try a new lady. I'm going to stick with her probably till I'm done cutting my hair.
Okay, cool, man. Appreciate it. All right, man. Take care, okay? Be safe. Now, Peter is on the line. He doesn't agree with Avery Bradley, but also wants to shout out his barber. What don't you agree with, Peter?
I don't agree with what he said, the way he said it, because when he said to give it to him or to give it to a place, what has always happened in the past is that they give the money, a company will give the money to one entity, and then they so-calledly will disperse it throughout the community, but that company will keep as much as half or more of that money and then disperse it incrementally, just very smallly to businesses. And there are some businesses that they're saying, we're going to give it to you, and they will take a kickback.
Hmm. Yeah, look, I do think that, again, you have to vet, to your point, who is getting the funds. But I feel fairly certain, Peter, and thank you. Oh, well, actually, you want to shout out your barber, too. Go ahead before I let you go.
Yes. Urban Blends, they are great. They are in Los Angeles near the Culver City area. You got to go. They are great.
Okay. Awesome, Peter. Thank you so much. Okay. What I would say is I feel fairly confident that the NBA and Avery Bradley and everyone and the Players Association would vet where the money would be going. So I'm not really concerned about that aspect of it. That's just me. So, anyway, our buddy Ryan Russillo of The Ringer, check out the Ryan Russillo Show podcast. And of course, on Sundays, he appears on the Bill Simmons podcast. He joins us here. So, Russillo, let me just kind of talk to you about what we were just discussing, right? And again, this is not me trying to diminish Kyrie's message or Dwight's message. I think that you can agree with their message, but you could also believe that there needs to be some strategy behind what comes next, right? And I think that that's been the biggest criticism of those two guys in particular. Whereas Avery Bradley recently said yesterday that he wants, before a restart potentially, at least some assurances that the NBA and then the NBA's partners, the shoe companies, maybe even the television networks, etc., would do their best to invest in the black community. And as he stated, because look, there wouldn't be an NBA without black players. So I don't think that's an unfair ask. Like, we sit here and we use the logic of LeBron and say, well, he can do two things. He can play and he can help social justice. I'm pretty sure the NBA and these partners could do the same too. How do you feel about Avery Bradley's position on this?
Well, when I went through and read everything, and granted, you know, we're not access to, as we both know, speaking for a living, there's a much bigger difference between reading something after the fact and then actually getting to hear it. But when I read through most of it, I was really impressed with Avery Bradley, and I think Bradley's right. Like, right now, the momentum of what is going on, it's time to start asking people to change their approach to things. And we're seeing corporations. I mean, I couldn't believe it the other day where I saw Band-Aid was like, hey, guys, like, let's update the colors of the Band-Aid. And you're like, it's 2020. I hadn't even thought of that, you know? And I think what you have is you have so many of these corporations feeling the criticism, feeling pressure, and feeling like, hey, we got to make sure that people realize that we're with people fighting social injustice. And so I think now's the time to apply this kind of pressure. So I respected what Avery Bradley had to say. Kyrie, I haven't been the biggest Kyrie fan, but I can also admit at times where I'm like, you know what, I think I side with Kyrie on this one. I'm not going to tell any NBA player who's worried about health, worried about being away from his family, worried about fighting social injustice and wanting to not get distracted by coming back and playing basketball and deciding, you know, now is not the right time for me. I'm not going to criticize anybody for doing that. But I think when you start to break down what this really is as far as basketball, you know, whether you run a team, your job is to put that team together, to coach the team, to trade the team, or to play on the team. The job is basketball. And eventually, at some point, if your job is basketball, you're going to come back to basketball. And I'm not going to argue with people about when the time is right or when it isn't, but I thought and I believe, and look, the information is out there, more players actually do want to come back and play than those that don't. And what happened was when the team reps voted, a lot of people that feel like they've never had a voice in this process because it's a star-driven league felt like, hey, you know, I want to ask some questions here. I want to be heard. And I credit Kyrie with giving those people those voices. But ultimately, there's still more guys that want to come back and play. And I think it always gets back to kind of Silver's stance. And Silver's so good at navigating through all of this. And he said, for all of this to work, people are going to have to sacrifice. And it's the best way to describe it. There's no perfect plan. There are going to be things when you show up in Orlando where you go, you know what? This isn't right. Why does this team get to do this? Why does this player get to do that? There are things we don't even know about that are going to go wrong, but it is about sacrifice if they actually want to get a season going again.
Yeah, I listened to your podcast yesterday about Kyrie. And look, I get it, okay? And I think everybody gets it, right? He's a different dude, right? So, like, yeah. he's not like everyone else. But, again, that shouldn't diminish his message. I do think it's fascinating, though, how many people are coming at him now, right? Like, whether it's former players who are now in the media or whatnot. Like, I think that his brand, for whatever, you know, I hate using that phrase, right? But for lack of a better phrase, his brand of being a different dude hasn't helped him in this particular case. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think we're all like a product of our own resumes, right? Like if somebody meets you, Sedano, and says, well, you know, I've been listening to you for years, like he's already got an idea of like kind of where your head is at. I know I have things where people be like, okay, maybe I think this guy is this way. We're all our own resumes. And Kyrie's resume is all over the place. When he first wanted to leave LeBron, I blamed Kyrie. And then I did more digging and I go, you know what? I may like LeBron better. And obviously he's a better player, but I can kind of respect the fact that Kyrie was like, I'm sick of this year to year stuff with LeBron. Like I'm out of here. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm not going to hitch my wagon to somebody who doesn't know if he wants to be here every year. But then he goes to Boston, and this is the part where I did do an eye roll, where it's like Kyrie's really concerned about being in Orlando to cheer on a team that he can't play for, but he couldn't make it to Game 7 of the 2018 Eastern Conference Finals when it was Boston against Cleveland.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there are times with Kyrie where I feel like he's a guy that carries around a book that's really profound but may not read it, just to, so you see him with the book. Like, I'll admit, like, there are times where I go, what exactly is the point of some of this stuff? But when it comes to everything that's going on these last couple months, again, I'm not going to tell any player how he's supposed to feel about this stuff because, you know, the world is changing and it's changing faster. And it's just these last few months have been different than any other stretch that I can remember in my life. So
it's interesting. And Ryan Russillo of The Ringer joining us here. Make sure you subscribe to the Ryan Russillo Show podcast and check out him and Bill Simmons every Sunday on the Bill Simmons podcast. The interesting thing, though, is the fallout of all of this. You've got Kevin Durant going on Instagram after Kendrick Perkins rips Kyrie and calls him a sellout. And then you got Kendrick tweeting out some stuff using the phrase cupcake about KD, which, by the way, was the more sanitized version because he was dropping mother bleepers in the first tweet and cursing left and right at both of them and sanitized it. My guess is, as you know, and I know, you know, there might have been a call there from an 860 area code at some point to maybe adjust his tweeting. But yeah, like that, this is the part that then makes it interesting in a much more silly way, right? Is that here's what you have is that you have this infighting amongst guys just based on who their alliances are. And that's who their alliances are with. And that's the thing that we also don't discuss, I think, enough here, right? Like you kind of alluded to it with the LeBron Kyrie thing. Those guys, for lack of a better phrase, are adversaries. Even with the, you know, detente that they had over the summer about Kyrie reaching out to LeBron. Like right, those, whatever. There's no love lost there between those two.
No, that one didn't even make any sense. Like I was like, wait a minute. And then when Kyrie did his thing when he was back in Boston, being like, I had to call him and tell him I was sorry and all this different stuff. It's like. And then they were like, oh, maybe he's going to go back and play. And then everything I was hearing was like, yeah, I don't know really what's happening here. Look, Perk is really talented. Perk is going to be able to do this a long time. But Perk rides for his guys. And if you're not one of his guys, he just destroys you. And so, I mean, I think he has Robertson rigged ahead of Steph Curry as far as guard rank. you know, Perk is a LeBron guy. LeBron is not a Kyrie guy. I mean, every Perk thing I can always do the math on. Like, he doesn't like any of the Warriors because he was with OKC, and he's a LeBron guy. He doesn't like Kyrie because he's a LeBron guy. He had his problems with Durant, and then I thought they made up, but apparently they haven't now. So, look, I think Perk's really good on TV. I think he's a talented guy, but I also think, like, it's always kind of funny when people yell at us, like, oh, you're from Miami, oh, you're from Boston, you're so biased. But, like, these ex-players are way more biased than any of us could ever possibly be, because we don't really even know any of these guys other than just some interviews. But, you know, the Kyrie fallout, I think the other part of it is because he's not playing, right? And the other part is how many guys that are actually on teams that have a chance to win a championship are speaking out. Now, Avery is, and certainly Dwight jumped in there too. But, you know, would Giannis, is Giannis supposed to be criticized for not saying more when Giannis is probably looking at this going, hey, can we get back so I can get a chance to win my first ring? So I'm not going to tell that guy that he's selfish or motivated by the wrong things because he wants to get back and play basketball and win whatever version of this ring that we're going to deem, however it is historically. But, you know, their own league thing, too, with Kyrie, like I had heard that earlier in the year. So I actually had done a podcast on the concept before it actually became news. So I was like, oh, wow, the timing of this is pretty funny. Where Kyrie is different, Dinwiddie's a little different as far as his looking at how business works. But, you know, a lot of guys just go, hey, dude, I like that paycheck, that huge paycheck that shows up every month. And I don't have to worry about the rest of this stuff. Like, I just want to get back and play basketball and make my max money and not start another league. So, you know, right. Kyrie, by doing that, even if his heart's in the right place, or maybe he's a forward enough thinker that he's thinking in ways that other players should be thinking, most guys are going to just be like, hey, let us know when Orlando starts, and let's start getting those checks again.
Ryan Russillo joining us here. Make sure you check out the Ryan Russillo Show podcast on The Ringer. And, of course, Bill Simmons, he joins Bill Simmons every Sunday on the Bill Simmons podcast. Quickly on football before I let you go, I don't know if you saw the Dr. Fauci stuff today where he believes that they should take the NBA model and play within a bubble. First of all, there's so many things here, right? I mean, I don't know. Goodell's been very cavalier about all of this in a lot of ways, okay? So I don't know if he's even put a ton of thought to that particular aspect of it. I do think that you should do your due diligence if you're anyone. But I think that there's some obstacles here. First of all, you need a lot more room than you would to host a basketball situation. You also need a city that would be compliant with bringing in probably 3,000 to 5,000 people. I just don't know if logistically that would be able to work, at least not in one city. What do you think?
You know, football is really lucked out. I mean, for years, right, football was having to deal with, you know, what's your concussion policy? What's your punishment policy? And then every other league got to say, like, hey, you guys just want to fire off a memo about our concussion policy real quick, so that we're ready to go. And the rest of the league's got to draft off of all the NFL criticism. And just by the timing of the calendar with this, the NFL's been able to kind of draft behind everybody else, right? And figure out, all right, how do we navigate all this stuff? Now, I haven't had an issue with the NFL not having some steadfast plan here because we still don't know. We still don't right. know how we're going to be talking this next month, August, you know, who knows, if the football season even starts on time, because they haven't really had to make those big-time decisions. The only way the bubble thing would work, and it's funny because I know you and I have talked about this in the past, and we're going to end up getting an NBA version of this where they should have just started in Christmas and then run it through and dominate those late August months. But the mm-hmm. NBA, whenever I'd asked about it, they said, you know, our research says that there's just too many TVs that are off in the summer. We'll see, because we're actually going to have real data for next year. But what if the NFL just said, okay, we're just going to have NFL games every single night? So instead of trying to get a bunch of games done in a weekend, like, couldn't they just say, hey, we're going to do these every single night and own prime time every night of the week? Like, I don't know why they wouldn't try that.
Would you just have certain teams play on certain nights? Because you kind of need the rest part of it too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could figure it out and everybody find a way to complain about that, which, you know, I can't wait for the NBA stuff because you could just
oh, yeah.
be like, well, wait. Yeah. And you go, okay, guys, like, nobody said any of these plans are perfect. There's not going to be any of these. So if
yeah.
you know, one team has 8 days off and the other has 7 days off, like, I don't need to read a 10-page column on it. Like, I get it. Not always fair. But, the bubble thing, like, I went through some of that NBA stuff, and I've gone through it. It's like, hey, the high ceilings in Orlando. I'm like, wow, that sounds smart. They're right. The ceilings are high in Orlando. I've been to that facility for years for the pre-draft stuff. And then the next thing I read is like, actually, the high ceiling thing's a little overrated. So I don't pretend to be definitive on any of this stuff.
Right.
So Fauci's saying, hey, it's going to be a bubble. I don't think the NFL is going to go, we can only do this in a bubble because Fauci said so. If the NFL has shown us anything, despite their predictable videos to kind of stay in line with every corporation reacting to everything that's going on, the NFL doesn't really care about what, like, that stuff. I mean, we're talking about a group of owners that were charging taxpayers to honor military veterans until we figured it out. We're talking about a league that sold us pink hats and gloves. And we're like, wait a minute, what's the breakdown of how that revenue works out? I mean, this group of owners has been so dismissive of us, the consumer, because we can't get enough of it, that I still would lean towards them going, hey, let's just kick this ball off and we'll figure out the rest of it later.
Ryan Russillo of The Ringer. Check out his work there, of course, the Ryan Russillo Show podcast. You can check it out, download, subscribe, and, of course, every Sunday on the Bill Simmons podcast. All right, brother, thank you so much for hanging out. Stay healthy, stay safe.
Yeah, you too, Sedano. Thank you, as always.
All right, man, be good. There he is, Ryan Russillo, all presented by Progressive Insurance, and our guests like Ryan appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. He gave us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and I mentioned our friends at Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. All right, coming up next, it is an anniversary Laker fans will never forget. We'll get to that in just a moment. Stick around. We're back in 3.5 minutes. Sit down over here on 710 ESPN. Brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care. Today and every day, care makes the difference. Don't forget, all this week we'll be announcing a nominee who will receive an honorary ESPY from 710 ESPN. On Friday, we'll announce and interview the winner. These nominees are from our 710 Senior Shoutout entries. Today's nominee is Gary Chavichian, who attended the University of Pacific. Gary led his basketball team to a 23-10 record and was a potential NIT team before the season was cut short. He finished his career with over 235 three-pointers made and was second in scoring this past season. Watch the 2020 ESPY show this Sunday at 6 o'clock, hosted by Russell Wilson, Sue Bird, and Megan Rapinoe. So thanks to Ryan Russillo for joining us there of The Ringer. Make sure you subscribe to his podcast. And Matt Barnes is going to join us at 11:15, UCLA grade, longtime NBA veteran, NBA champion, and of course, part of the All the Smoke podcast with him and Steven Jackson. And honestly, you know, look, I'm always telling you to listen to stuff that I listen to, because I kind of hope that if you're listening to me, you kind of sort of have similar tastes, maybe. Look, I love Ryan's stuff. I love Ryan's stuff with Bill on Sundays, too. And I love, you know, Steven and Matt, what they've been doing with All the Smoke. It's really good content as well. So check out those podcasts if you have a second. So anyway, so Bergman, do you know what today's anniversary is for the Lakers?
I know what yesterday's anniversary for the Lakers was. I don't know what today's is.
Yesterday's anniversary was, yes, the 2010 championship. But
correct,
today's anniversary is the 19-year anniversary of the Mark Madsen dance.
Oh, yeah. That's a great anniversary.
Who is the worst dancer that you've ever seen? Like, is he the worst dancer you've ever seen ever in anything? Like, I know on Seinfeld many, many years ago, they
Made
fun of Elaine, right? But that was a gimmick. That was a bit.
I was going to ask you, is it real or fictional?
Yeah. So, I mean, either one.
Well, if it's fictional, it's Elaine.
How about this? I mean, didn't Key get booted from Dancing with the Stars after like one episode or something like that?
He maintains that he was a very good dancer, and it was just politics or whatever it happened to be.
Okay.
But so
he says he didn't have enough social
it.
Media following. Yes. I
right.
Remember
yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, Mark Madsen is pretty terrible, but it's just amazingly terrible. So I don't know if you can consider that the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I mean, I it's pretty bad though. I mean, I watched the video again this morning and I was like, good God, that's pretty terrible. So, anyway, speaking of terrible, have you seen – now, Bergman, you sent me this thing before I get to the calls at 877-710-ESPN, people weighing in on the NBA's return, people weighing in on Major League Baseball's return, obviously the NFL. Would they play in a bubble? Should they play in a bubble? Where would you host the damn bubble? But you sent me something this morning about Duke's Mayo. Now, I'm not a Mayo person. And I don't know about you. Like, maybe you like mayo. My wife likes mayo. Laura, do you like mayo?
I do not.
Okay. Now, I think, Laura,
mayo is disgusting.
Okay, good. Terrible. Because I generally feel like this, I don't feel like very many Latino people love mayo. I'm not saying that there aren't people that are Latino that like mayo, but I just feel like it's not in our condiment spectrum, right? Like, that's a good way to describe it.
100%. Except my mom. She adds ketchup and then makes burgers with that. And I'm like, gross. But
I mean,
my mom,
it's just not my cup of tea. Like, I don't love mayo. I like mustard. I like ketchup. I love salsa, of course. Any kind of salsa. I love a lot of things, okay? But mayo is not one of them. It's just not my thing. So you sent me Bergman. They're going to, you know, the college football season has like 97 bowl games. And one of them in North Carolina is called the Belk Bowl. And they're changing it to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So I saw that. But I also saw that Luke Kuechly, who was once the NFL Defensive Player of the Year and has since retired because of concussions from the Carolina Panthers at a young age, is now the Duke's Mayo's spokesman. And in this commercial that I saw, he's eating a sandwich, like white bread with mayo and tomatoes.
Ugh.
And I just can't think of a worse thing that I would be forced to eat. Because here's the thing. On a commercial, you're going to have to eat mayo and tomatoes in those sandwiches probably 50 times. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have to take like 30 bites because they're making you do a million takes on this stuff. So I just feel like I'm going to say it right now. I know we're heading into campaign season, and my campaign promises say no to mayo, okay? Because mayo, first of all, it's not good for you. Second of all, it doesn't really taste like anything, okay? It's kind of gross in that sense. Like, there's no real added value to having mayo. So as much as I'm a proponent against mayo, I'm also a proponent against a what I would think is a knockoff mayo, because isn't the best mayo brand? It's certainly not Duke's. What's the mayo brand that everyone buys? Kraft's, right? I guess.
Yeah, I think it's Kraft, and there's one other.
Hellman's. Hellman's is the other mayo, right?
Oh,
the other,
Best Foods.
So I know that Duke's is trying to kind of get into that market share, but I'll tell you this, Duke's. Your commercial with Luke Kuechly eating a tomato and mayo sandwich on white bread isn't happening for him. You're not swaying me in any way, shape, or form. Is mayo the worst condiment, though, is my question. Like, is there a condiment you will not eat? Mayo is at the top of my list. But we will go. Is there anything else, Laura, before I go to the calls? Like, Laura, is there any other condiment that you are opposed to that you need to put? If we're going to start banning condiments, and we're going to start the campaign trail here against a particular condiment. Do you have anything else other than mayo?
Okay, don't hate me. I don't like deli mustard. I like yellow mustard, but I don't like deli mustard.
Whoa.
Totally with you, Laura.
Yes!
Totally with you, Laura.
Whoa. What's going on, Greg?
Whoa. You guys are agreeing way too much.
All right. That's weird.
I have breaking news. Breaking news right now. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, reporting that Major League Baseball's Players Association has finalized a proposal to the MLB for a season in the neighborhood of 70 games, Greg. Sources tell him and Jesse Rogers. So can these two sides meet at 70 games? Breaking news on 710 ESPN is powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Pull into Valvoline today and get 20% off service. Just mention ESPN. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for coupons and locations. So the Players Association are saying, okay, you want 60? We want 70. Can we get 70? I feel like we're doing like an auction here. Can I get 70? Can I get 70? Can I get 70? Going once, going twice. Sold to America. You get baseball for 70 games.
We're not going to stop because it's 70 games. They're going to come back and say no. The owners will say no, and it's going to end up somewhere around
66 games. Yes.
Yeah, fine. 66 games. It'll probably be 65 just so they have that weird rounded kind of type number. Yeah. But yes, it's going to be right there. They've found their middle ground now.
All right.
Because they had to do it.
Let me go to Alan in Glendale, who wants to weigh in on the conversation we were having about Avery Bradley and Kyrie and those guys. Alan, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to say these NBA players, they want to get their voice heard and everything. Wouldn't being in Orlando on a platform where everyone's paying attention to them, they're able to go on screen and voice their opinion more like that, wouldn't that help the cause, I guess?
I am a proponent of that, and thank you for the call, Alan. I believe that you can do both. We've talked about it with LeBron, right? Like, he started the More Than a Vote cause for getting people informed on what's going to be on ballots, getting people registered to vote, particularly in minority communities, particularly in the African American community. So yes, I think I believe it's possible, and a lot of our colleagues that we've had on here from all different backgrounds have agreed on that. Joey, I have 30 seconds. Go.
Yes, I'm weighing in on the mayo talk. All right, so big fan, George. I'm half black, half white. I think that it really comes down to a cultural thing. My mom is white. She loves the tomato, mayo, and white bread sandwich. I grew up on it. My dad, who's black, wouldn't touch it.
All right, there it is. I do believe it is cultural. All right, more on Mayo, more on MLB getting closer, more on the NFL. Could they use a bubble? 877-710-ESPN. We're back in 90 seconds.